subject matter today with Dr. Julie Galthorpe and our guest, Dr. Miriam Harrison from BGH and Quinney Healthcare. And Miriam and I, it needs to be talked about. Yesterday, I was at the press conference with multiple partners at the Belleville Police Station. It was led by Police Chief Mike Callahan, fire, paramedics, Quinney Healthcare represented, the city represented, public health at the discussion table. And we found out yesterday that on an average week in the city of Belleville, paramedics are called to about 5 to 10 situations dealing with potential overdose. Last week, the number was 90. So Dr. Galthorpe and I yesterday in our conversation via text, we both decided that this is probably the subject matter that needs to be talked about today. As the Belleville City Police Chief said yesterday, we have a crisis on our hands in the city of Belleville. And Julie, you sent a text back to me yesterday and said, 9 or 90? And I typed out 90 because you were shocked at that.
I was shocked at 90 in our city since November 1st. That, to me, seemed overwhelming. I do know that when you are dealing with addiction, and if any of you listening have family members or friends who cope with addiction, you're waiting for that. It's not if death will be the outcome, it's when that will be the outcome. And that's a hard place to be and to be living all the time. The anxiety is high. So we're talking about the people behind these numbers, because 90 is a big number in that short period of time. And we tend to, you know, dehumanize people who struggle with addiction. We call them addicts, alcoholics, rather than, you know, Mark who has an addiction, or Sue who has an addiction. There's a real difference. There is more to the person than the addiction. So it's easy to dismiss it when we just say, oh, there was 90 addicts. No, like there was 90 people with names, with families, with people who loved them who overdosed. So we also like to think that it's only certain people that end up addicted to opioids. We dismiss it. Oh, that's just so-and-so. He's always had a problem. Again, that's false and it's blaming. It's easier, more comfortable for many people to think that it's the person's fault that they have overdosed. You know, if they were just stronger, more motivated, a better person, this wouldn't be happening to them. Again, false. So, you know, I encourage you, if you aren't educated about how this all takes hold, you know, turn on Netflix, watch that series Painkiller. It's helpful in terms of understanding. I do think that this is a good time to turn over to Dr. Miriam Harrison, as I had asked her to join us. People talk about death by addiction, but I don't think people understand why or how they die from use. And it's important for people in our community to understand this.
So Dr. Harrison, you're an intensive care unit doctor from BGH, Quinney Healthcare. Can you educate us all why addiction kills?
Sure. So when people overdose on narcotics, they typically get very drowsy and have trouble staying awake. They develop slurred speech and pinpoint pupils, and eventually their breathing slows down. The breathing can slow down to the point that they actually stop breathing altogether. And when they stop breathing, they suddenly get no oxygen going to all of their vital organs, like the heart and the brain. When the heart doesn't see oxygen, it stops pumping. And we can do CPR and give naloxone and try to get it going again. And sometimes we actually are successful, but it could take 30 or 40 or sometimes even 50 minutes to get the heart pumping again. During that whole time that we're doing the CPR, the brain isn't getting enough oxygen. And as a result, it typically swells. And it's that brain swelling that can cause irreversible brain damage and even death.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. So, Dr. Julie, then, can I just ask you, how can people know whether their drug use is serious or not?
Well, I'll speak to it from a mental health perspective, and Dr. Harrison can speak to it physically. But, you know, prescribed or not, opioid use is serious. So the line between abuse and dependency or addiction, that's often blurred. So we know we have an epidemic worldwide. Apparently in the city of Belleville, we are, you know, we're indicative of that. Addiction is a disorder, but rather than treating it like a disorder, we treat it like it's a behavioral problem of difficult people not doing what they need to do. We blame them because addiction makes people hard to tolerate and hard to approach and help them manage things. We seem to think that if someone dies by an overdose, it's their fault. It's sad, but it's their fault. We like to think of addiction like it's some sort of moral issue rather than a health issue. And, you know, when I think about it, I think about people, okay, we have this volume of people dying by overdose. Yet when they, having been through this with people and trying to help them and their family members navigate this, it's like a puzzle that's thrown in the air. Okay, now what do I do? So the person they're struggling with addiction. You know, if you presented and you had cancer, okay, and your test came up and you have cancer, they've confirmed you have cancer, there will be a treatment plan in place for you. There'll be supports around mm-hmm. you. There'll be specialists helping you from every area walk through this. With addiction, it doesn't work that way. With addiction, it's like you have an addiction. The doctors treating you know you have an addiction. They have no resources to create a treatment plan for you. So therefore, you're back out on the street, probably overdosing again, or at least at risk of that. And then family members are struggling to find you help. They don't know where to go. First of all, go to rehab. Well, most rehabs require that you are detoxed. So going there, you have to detox first. Well, that's another process that the person has to go through. You have to find a detox center for them. Detox is incredibly painful. And when I had an ICU doctor, a very intelligent one, tell me that what stands between, you know, people being sober and their addiction is detox. It is horrible. And I think that people dismiss what the person has to go through to get to that point where their mind is even clear enough to be able to resolve what's going on for them.
Doctor, you want to add anything to what Julie just touched on, Dr. Harrison? Just some maybe the stages of addiction?
Sure, yeah. So addiction always begins with some kind of voluntary decision to use drugs, but no one really starts out hoping to become an addict. When a person uses a drug repeatedly over time, their control over its use decreases dramatically, and the person who's initially a voluntary drug user can easily become a compulsive drug user and eventually an addict. That initial use can be something benign, like getting a prescription narcotic, for example, to manage a knee pain after surgery, or something more insidious, like being pressured by a friend or a family member to try and illicit drugs. The risk factors for addiction include things like a family history of substance abuse, a personal history of childhood abuse or neglect, a personal history of mental health problems such as depression or even anxiety. The patient starts to use the drugs regularly, and before they know it, they're engaging in risky behaviors like driving under the influence. And next, they develop tolerance where the same amount of drug no longer has that same effect. So they need to increase the dose or the frequency of the drug to get that same effect. And over time, the patient develops a physical and psychological dependence on that drug and truly can't function without it. Eventually, they become addicted, and the drug starts to interfere with their responsibilities at work and school and home.